Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to Titus chapter 2, a brief study tonight, then we're going to go to prayer for the different needs that have been indicated. I'm going to be reading from the Phillips translation of Titus chapter 2, the verses that we're going to focus on, specifically in verses 12 through 13, as we consider the blessed hope. There is the hope, and there is the blessed hope. And specifically, it relates to the rapture of the church. And I want to share with you this translation as we look concerning the blessed hope and what it means to us as believers. Beginning their reading, "For the grace of God, which can save every man, has now become known, and it teaches us to have no more to do with godlessness or the desires of this world, but to live here and now responsible, honorable, and God-fearing lives. And while we live this life, we hope and wait for the glorious denouement or appearing of God Himself and of Jesus Christ our Savior. For He gave Himself for us all that He might rescue us from all our evil ways and make for Himself a people of His own, clean and pure, with our hearts set upon living a life that is right." What a beautiful translation of this particular passage. And he brings out many factors, but specifically, he brings out the fact that the grace of God teaches. And the grace of God has several lessons that it teaches. It teaches that every man can be saved. Isn't that wonderful? I totally disagree with those that teach that the gospel is only for the elect. For the Bible makes it very clear that the grace of God teaches us that every man can be saved. Now, not every man will be saved. There's a difference. You have to understand that. Not every man and woman will be saved because some will reject. But they can be saved. Has now become known, and it teaches us to have no more to do with godlessness or the desires of this world, but to live here and now responsible, honorable, and notice that, God-fearing lives. Now, what's the next phase of this? It talks about the coming of the Lord and the impact of the blessed hope. This adjective that's added to hope, as if it really needed one, but God thinks so because He added it in His Word. The blessed hope. And what does this mean, this blessed hope? Well, it's beneficial. The word blessed in the Greek language is such a, it can be translated happy depending upon the context. It can also be translated beneficial. It's beneficial grace. There are benefits associated with it. You know, it's wonderful to have benefits. My wife and I got tax money back this year. We've been paying taxes for 8 years now, and all of a sudden this year we got money back. I mean, it was kind of exciting. My wife doesn't get excited too often, but she was doing the silent cheer in the house. She was all excited about getting a check back. It was a benefit we really were not expecting. Now, benefits that come to us in this world can be in many different forms. It can be financial. It can be through health. It could be in all kinds of different ways. But the benefit of this hope here is related to a specific event. And what is that event? The Bible says the coming of our God and our Savior. Let's look back in the King James account there. Let me get there very quickly. In Titus there in verse 12. Teaching us, well, let's go to verse 13. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." There we see the divine nature of Christ emphasized there. The great God and, speaking of, the same person, Jesus Christ. It's related to an event that's coming for you and for me. When I was a boy, my grandparents, on my dad's side, lived up in Ohio. They didn't come very often to visit. We would go up there 1 year, and sometimes they would fly down for a week or so. And I remember the excitement that we had about seeing Pop and Graham come in the front door. I hadn't seen them in a good while, you know, and it was always exciting to get to see them. And I remember whenever Dad would say, hey, we're going to go up to Ohio and we're going to visit Pop and Graham. And I loved going into their cellar because their cellar smelled like apples, because that's what they had downstairs. And you'd go down that skinny little stairway down into the basement where it was always damp. And there was the smell of apples and the smell of fruits that they had collected and had kept down in that cool cellar. And that benefit, just the smell, was a benefit. The knowledge of Jesus Christ coming to take us, to call us forth from this earth into His presence, is a benefit. I want you to go back to 1 Thessalonians for just a moment, because that benefit is emphasized in another fashion. Chapter 4, please, of 1 Thessalonians. We have the great passage dealing with the coming of the Lord. Verse 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead shall rise first. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But notice this benefit. Now, what's the benefit now? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The words about what? The words about the coming of the Lord. It is a benefit to the child of God in that it comforts our soul. No one wants to face death. No one wants to face the things that accompany death. Many times there's a great lead up to the moment of dying. And we think about that, and we don't want to think about that, and we don't want to have to deal with that. There is a comfort in the fact that Jesus Christ at any moment could sound the trumpet and we would be snatched off of this earth, following those who have gone on before us, because they're going to rise first. Wherefore, comfort. That idea of coming alongside. This knowledge comes alongside us and basically puts its arm around us and says, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. Comfort your soul. Comfort with this grace that He's given to us. This knowledge that He's coming back for us, and we may not have to go through the portal of death. That's a comfort to the Christian. So, it is a blessed, it is a beneficial hope in that Jesus' return will be an amazing, joyful experience for the believer in Christ. We will be blessed beyond measure when we see Christ. Have you ever thought about what that moment's going to be like? The first time you lay eyes on the physical Jesus Christ. That moment in time in which we sink to our knees, because we're before the one who took our place. He was our substitute. To see the wounds in His hand and in His feet, to know that it was my sin that caused Him to come and go to that cross, and to see Him there, and because of Him, I can be with Him for all eternity. The trials of this life will be over, and we will see that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed at that time. We're told that in Romans 8 and verse 18. The word hope does not communicate uncertainty, as I hope that something might occur. Rather, it is the glad assurance that it will occur. It will happen. Now, there are always the naysayers. Peter talks about that. Where is the sign of His coming? So much time has passed. Where's the sign of His coming? Well, those are people that are not watching. They're complaining. We as believers in Christ have the assurance and the comfort and the fact that that truth comes alongside us and encourages, and it benefits us now. Not just then, but right now I get the benefit of knowing that this will take place. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. The blessed hope then is the joyful assurance that God will extend His benefits to us and that Jesus Christ will return. Do you know, Christian, that tonight you benefit from eternal life? Sometimes we think, I know as a child, I said, you know, when I die, I'm going to have eternal life. I didn't understand at that time that eternal life came the moment I believed in Jesus Christ. That life began. We live here upon this earth. We go through the struggles of life, and that's just natural and normal. But we have the same Savior. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We have all the promises that have been made to us, and we have the blessed hope, the encouragement along the way to be able to make the run. I saw Carlton the other day. He reminded me, he said, Todd, you remember in sixth grade, whenever we used to run track together? And I said, well, you did most of the running. I was the one that was always lagging behind. But he said, you remember Coach Campbell coming out there on the track, and he would run alongside of us, let's go, let's go, let's go, you can do this, you can do this. And he would run us all the way into the end there. And he said, all right, kids, did you see Coach Campbell running beside you out there on the track? When you are out there on the track, I can't go out there with you. But I want you to hear my voice in your ear when you're running. And you realize that as we're running the good race, the Lord is with us and He's encouraging us. Let's just keep going. Let's just keep going. I'm coming. I'm going to be there. You just keep going. What encouragement we have with the presence of the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Should this blessed hope of Christ's anytime return have an effect on me in Jesus Christ? Well, what did John write? Look over at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. We're almost done here. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3, beginning at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called what? The sons of God, literally the children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. That not we'll be delivered out of this body. We shall be like Him. We're going to have a glorified body. We will be like Him. Is that encouraging? Absolutely. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him. What's the work that happens within the heart and life? Purifieth himself even as He is pure. The knowledge and the truth of His coming impacts my daily life as I live for Him. It has a purifying element within us. The knowledge He could come back today. When your feet hit the floor this morning, other than the pain that first hit, for those that have plantar fasciitis, I have to do stretches in the morning when I get up because, oh, my feet are so tight. And I'll start walking around. But you know what? This may be the day that Jesus comes back. This might be the day. Whenever you know something like that, it has an impact on your heart and life. That's why when the letter was written to Titus, that emphasis was made of a blessed hope. It's encouraging, it's comforting, and it is purifying for the child of God. That knowledge of the coming of our Lord in the rapture. I just wanted to encourage you tonight. We have much to hope. And it's not, well, I sure hope this happens. Now, you may hope this way. Said, you know, I hope it happens in my lifetime. That's a different kind of hope. We know the blessed hope's going to happen. We just don't know when it's going to happen. But it's that knowledge that surrounds us each and every day. Every decision we make, every person we talk to, that hope surrounds us that we can live each day and be comforted and encouraged by that hope that we enjoy, secured on the cross of Calvary that we're going to be remembering on Friday. Right? We're going to be remembering the death of Jesus Christ, His burial, and then Sunday, His resurrection. What a glorious thing to understand this is all because of Christ and His glorious truth.